Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, July 15th, 2025 on Connecticut Today. We had word that a very influential Democratic member of the General Assembly is chiding Governor Ned Lamont over the governor's opposition to so-called overdose prevention centers and some recent overdose deaths that some people say were preventable if the governor took a different tact. Blogger and columnist Chris Powell dropped by to chat about the growing effort by some progressive Democrats to get Governor Ned Lamont to step aside in 2026. And a Yankee Institute blogger, Megan Portfolio, predicted what could happen in an upcoming General Assembly special session on housing.
I'm still trying to figure out here what is happening to the Connecticut Democratic Party. Now, again, I know what you're probably going to say. Oh, here he goes again. Well, yeah, here I go again, because every day that I look to see what I'm going to talk about with you folks, every day that I decide who I'm going to have on the program, every day that I decide saying, hey, what is this side doing? What is that side doing? I see stuff that 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago when I started doing this gig and was doing a lot of reporting, talking to politicians in their habitats about things political before I segued to doing talk here. I never saw this stuff. I mean, we're seeing stuff here that is parallel universe weird. We're seeing stuff here that is just, I see it and look at it and read it and try to make sense of it. And I'm wondering if the once great Democratic Party of Connecticut that gave us people in back in the day like Ella Grasso and Bill O'Neill, good salt of the earth people, you know, I'm wondering if the Democratic Party in the state has lost its mind. Seriously. They're saying stuff that just makes no sense. They're flailing away. Now, we had the example yesterday of Martin Looney trying to spearhead this tax that would generate $280 million from the 16,000 richest filers in the state by tacking a surcharge onto capital gains revenues. So that's going to solve anything. So the Dems are telling us, hey, let's just put this tax there. We'll get another $280 million a year, and everything will be hunky-dory, herb tea, and biscuits. Now, you and I both know that's crap. That's garbage, because it'll turn into a higher level levied on more people. But having said that, I thought I was done with the lunacy for this week, right? On Monday, I said, maybe Monday is just weird, and I won't have any more lunacy to talk about. But, oh, was I wrong. A gentleman that is trying to write the political epitaph of Ned Lamont, State Senator Saud Anwar, who was among the first people who told Ned Lamont, hey, Ned, you're not left-wing enough. You shouldn't run again. Now, Anwar's a working pulmonologist. He's a state Senate member from Windsor, one of the two. And he has emerged from being a somewhat vocal member of the state Senate, which, of course, he can. I don't besmirch anybody anything for what they want to say, especially if they're an elected official. But, man, some of this stuff is just, this is nuts. The Democratic Party in this state has gone crazy. You know, you people on the Democratic side, you talk about MAGA, 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 Trump, Trump. Okay, we get it. Have you looked in the mirror at your own party? You're going nuts. You want to get rid of a guy who is likely going to get reelected again because he wouldn't sign a bill that mandated cash payments to strikers because he changed his mind on a housing bill, which he said, hey, we're going to renegotiate. And now Saud Anwar is blaming. Are you ready for this? Seriously, I'm going to read some of this. Because this is nuts. This is crazy. Now, Dr. Anwar, who again is an MD, I'll give him that much, is blaming Ned Lamont for drug overdose deaths. Right? This is where we are. This is crazy time in the Connecticut Democratic Party. This is nuts. This is lunacy city. because they don't like Ned Lamont, because he's not that far of a lefty, thank God, now they blame him for drug overdose deaths. You can't make this up. You cannot make this up. This is the point at which Democrats now in the state, and it's sad. It makes me sad. Makes me long for the days of Ella Grasso, of our old pal Bill O'Neill, even under Dan Malloy, who, you know, I'm no great fan of. You didn't see this kind of lunacy in the majority Hartford party in Hartford. And when the majority is run by lunatics, we're in trouble. So what exactly did Saud Anwar say? Are you ready for this? Seriously, we're going to take a break here. I need you to take some deep breaths and slow down here. Because I'm going to read you something, and I'm going to read you the version out of the Hartford. Is this out of the current? This is out of the current. This is stuff that goes beyond just policy differences. When you start blaming, understand what's going on here, folks. This is how nuts the Democratic Party has become in the state. They have a sitting Senate member, state Senate member, powerful position. There's only 36 state Senate members in a state of 3.5 million people. You have a state Senate member essentially blaming overdose deaths, you know, deaths that people brought on themselves by using drugs. No, it's not their fault. It's Ned Lamont's fault. You cannot make up this lunacy. I'm starting to think that whomever the Republican candidate is for governor in Connecticut next year, maybe their campaign pitch line should be, we're not crazy like the other side. Seriously. Maybe whether it's Jen Tooker, maybe whether it's Aaron Stewart, maybe whether it's Ryan Fazio or whomever may jump in the race, that should be the Republican team line here in the state. We're not crazy like the other side. What do I mean by crazy? Listen to this. This is how crazy. I swear to you, I'm not doing this for effect. This is nuts. This is crazy. When you have a sitting governor getting blamed by somebody in his own party over deaths. Deaths. We're not talking about funding. We're not talking about a few mills on a tax rate here and there. We're talking about death. This is the extent to which the Democratic Party in the state, and there are more people that do believe this and are willing to say this, they despise Ned Lamont like nothing else. I've never seen this. I've been covering politics in the state for 41 years. God, I'm old. But I was thinking about this driving in today, you know, thoughts while driving. Okay, I'll use my directional there. No, seriously, I'm sitting there saying to myself, this is nuts. They've lost it. State Senator Saud Anwar has been keeping track of the number of lives lost to overdoses in Connecticut, what he calls the human cost of wrong action. Now, let me stop and say something here. There is obviously overdoses are tragic. Nobody is saying they're not. I did a segment on this a couple of weeks ago with an organization for Cameron that mainly monitors what goes on the streets with opioids and fentanyl. But that's not what we're talking about here, okay? Senator Saud Anwar is laying, get this, folks, and you Democrats out there, how do you feel about this? And if you don't want to call and get on the air, I understand. But seriously, send me a text or two or three. 333-9422. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Anwar is laying responsibility for the deaths at the feet of Governor Ned Lamont, who he said pushed lawmakers to remove from a bill a provision to establish overdose prevention centers throughout the state. On May 29th, 2025, overdose prevention center was part of the, that part was removed, rather, he says here, on 29th of May, 2025, a few weeks ago, was removed from Senate Bill 7 because of a veto threat by Governor Ned Lamont. He adds, since that sad moment, there have been 789 overdoses, 83 lives lost. Each death was preventable. Now, apparently, Anwar wrote this on his Facebook page back on June the 24th, and somebody just noticed this. This was not just a wrong policy decision made by the governor. It has consequences. It's pain. It's people. It's family shattered. Communities will be watching the direct impact of policy decisions day by day. The question is no longer if people will die without overdose prevention. The question is how many more, and we will keep counting. So, wait a minute, Dr. Anwar, that's Ned Lamont's fault? Really? Really? Because, and look, I understand that there are, or that there is controversy over these overdose prevention centers. I get it. But the governor didn't want to do it. So now you're blaming him for killing people? Is that where we are? Is that where the Democratic Party of Connecticut is now? This is nuts. They're all crazy. Well, not all of them. We've had a few of them on the show here. I book the uncrazy Democrats on my show. This is nuts. Now, you can say, you know, it's sad. I disagree with the governor here. Maybe we can move forward. But man, oh man, he's laying the responsibility for the deaths at the feet of Governor Ned Lamont, who he says pushed lawmakers to remove from a bill a provision to establish overdose prevention centers throughout the state. And can I just say something? And I've lost friends and family members to drugs, okay? But you know what? How much of the responsibility goes to drug users here? I get it. I understand it. Addiction is a horrible thing. I understand it. But really? Really? You're going to, in some way, shape, or form, follow what Chris Murphy does regarding Donald Trump and try and tie deaths to somebody, Dr. Anwar? Good God. He said, quote, I am disappointed that humans are not being treated in a fair manner because of various factors that are unacceptable to me. He told the current, quote, here we go, here's the race card. It's black and brown people who are dying, and every single death is preventable. I have difficulty accepting that our governor is allowing those deaths to happen when we have shown him the data that they are preventable. Oh, so Ned Lamont is allowing death. So, Dr. Anwar, as a medical doctor, can you then guarantee that if the governor sign this, that those people would still be alive? Is that what we're saying here? This is crazy, folks. I can't say this enough. And look, it's one thing to say, that in private, but understand what's going on here. They despise Ned Lamont. And I think it's great. I'm having a wonderful chuckle over this. I am. Whether it's Anwar, or Julie Kushner, or any one of the progressives in Hartford, they despise this guy because he's not a left-wing raving lunatic like some of them are. Now, let me give you a little more detail here. On May 22nd, the state Senate passed Senate Bill 7. The vote was 25-10. It paved the way for the state to introduce a pilot program supporting overdose prevention centers. The program would have developed 4 centers in different municipalities across the state in 2026. Asked at a press briefing on May 28th if the governor is committed to vetoing SB 7 if it comes to his desk with a safe injection site measure, Lamont said he had not committed to anything on that. He said, quote, I want to get people off the drugs, and we've made a big effort, and they're having some success. There are less fentanyl deaths than 2 or 3 years ago. There is some progress. I've not made a call on that yet. Lamont said he had some worry about the perception of safe injection sites in our major municipalities, but I've not made that call yet. A day later, the safe injection site aspect was stripped from the bill. The governor's office did not answer specific questions from The Current about whether or why the language establishing prevention centers was taken out of the bill and what the governor's response to Anwar's criticism that such a decision was costing lives. The governor's office instead referred to Lamont's May 28th press briefing in a press release on a big decline in overdose deaths. Man, oh man, they are trying to, again, whether it's Dr. Anwar, whether it's Martin Looney, whether it's Josh Elliott, the man, they are trying to kneecap this guy. They want to whack Ned Lamont politically, and they will do whatever they can to try and perhaps, in their minds, get it done. And now this gentleman joins us once a month or so for his perceptive musings on all things Connecticut, locally and otherwise. Chris Powell, read his stuff at chrispowellcolumn.com, chrispowellcolumn.com. Chris, it's Paul here. Good afternoon. How are you?
What's this gentleman stuff?
Well, I figured that's the default setting here on the program, Chris. You know that, don't you?
I got it.
Okay, yeah. So hope all is well. In a recent column, Chris, you said it's time for the state to take over the school systems in Hartford and also in the city of Bridgeport. What are your thoughts on that? How'd you come to that idea?
I don't know, just by watching Hartford and Bridgeport for the last few decades. We just had the Hartford school system exposed for graduating a student who can't read and write.
Yeah.
The Bridgeport school system has had, five superintendents in 7 years.
Yeah.
Both school systems have special education systems that are just out of control and failing. The state education department has put both of them under special scrutiny and assistance. But it's an old story, Paul. We accept the failure of those school systems because we really think that poverty is just inevitable for forever, and mm-hmm. nobody high enough in state government has to take responsibility for it. I know that school systems play the hands they're dealt, and when the overwhelming majority of their students are coming from impoverished households and are neglected and disadvantaged, it's going to be very, very hard to get good academics out of them. But, nevertheless, are we just going to keep looking at the failure in Hartford and Bridgeport and, saying that they should do better and we'll help them do better, but they never get better? Are we just going to keep doing that? I don't think it's going to be easy for the state to run those school systems, to take them over. I mean, they require a lot more management than the state education department
yeah.
has. And probably the state education department would fail at least for a while. But the benefit of it, the political benefit of it, I think, would be that at least higher officials in politics would have to take responsibility for these failures. And if the responsibility was, pushed upstairs more, maybe maybe Connecticut would, start insisting on results.
Sad state of affairs. To more modern things here, Chris, I was thinking driving in today. I wonder if Governor Grasso is spinning in her grave, if Governor O'Neill is spinning in his grave. Heck, what's Governor Wilbur Cross, Chris, think about what the state of the governor is dealing with right now in the Democratic Party, where here you have a guy in Ned Lamont, like him or not, the guy's popularity is from the low 50s in some polls into the low 60%, yet you have some members of his party, Chris, and you muse about this in one column. Are they moving far left of a generally popular governor here? What's going on?
Yeah, they are, and they want a primary to see if the liberal or the far left faction of the Democratic Party can prevail in a primary in which only the most aggressive ideologues tend to vote. We've got Josh Elliott, the far left representative from Hamden, this week announced formally that he was going to run against the governor. He's really sore that the governor vetoed a housing bill, mm-hmm. which would have extended rent control throughout the state, and vetoed the bill for unemployment benefits for strikers again. Elliott is sore that Lamont wants to, try to keep paying down our pension debt. Elliott thinks that paying the pension debt down by, a couple billion dollars over the last administration is no big deal, that we should be spending most of that money on social programs. Well, there's still some liberals in Connecticut think that a couple billion dollars is a lot of money. I think what most people don't realize is that while Connecticut says it's in, state government says it's in a great financial position, our unfunded pension liabilities remain in the billions and billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so, in effect, whatever extra money we're spending in the state budget is really being borrowed against the pension obligations. So I don't think we're really in great financial shape at all, which doesn't mean our social services are in great shape either. But, Elliott would like to cheat some more on the pension funds, but of course, and spend more. But of course, he would not spend more at the expense of, a pay freeze for state employees. Those people would always continue to come first under a, even more liberal regime in Connecticut.
Yeah, and then you have, again, Dr. Anwar, Saud Anwar. I guess people noticed something he put on his Facebook post a couple of weeks back, Chris, not pulling any punches, pretty much putting, sadly, some of the deaths of people who overuse drugs or overdose on drugs at the feet of the governor. And I'm saying to myself, wow, and this guy has a D next to his name. You'd think that these people were trying to oust a Republican governor here. It's amazing.
Yeah, Anwar is certainly as far left as Elliott is. Of course, if you're going to accuse the governor of responsibility for the deaths of people who are addicted to drugs because the governor didn't put more secure use facilities in the budget, yeah. I mean, you could accuse him of killing people for not giving everybody a police escort on the highways. It's pretty extreme, but look, that's why they call it the far left.
Yeah. Check out the columns, folks, chrispowellcolumn.com. Run it all together, chrispowellcolumn.com. Yes, the gentleman himself, Chris Powell. Mr. Powell, thank you. Thank you. Wear that badge proudly, and we'll talk next month. Thank you, sir.
Thank you much, Paul.
Bye-bye. All right, thanks. There you go. All right, go check out Chris's website. He's one of the best editorial writers anywhere. And the thing I love about Chris is he will write columns about and say things about certain subjects that nobody else has the guts to. We have the Hartford Portfolio blog available anytime at the Yankee Institute. And the blogger is the one and only Megan Portfolio here, who I understand is outside again with your dog staring at you. Is this what I hear?
Yeah, he's being a good boy, but he might lose his privileges if he starts barking. And when we lose privileges, that means we close the shade so he can't look outside.
Wow.
It works. He knows when I say, Bruno, you're going to lose your privileges.
Yeah.
He starts to be a good boy again.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were a Suns fan, by the way. I'm like, we need to sort of change that org and keep them here.
Well, that's just,
on the taxpayer dime, of course.
Well, again, and the arena's a little small now. I actually read an interesting article that, 9,000 seats sounds like a lot, but for big sports, especially with the growth of the WNBA, it really isn't. So, we'll see what happens. Too bad.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Too bad. Now, one of my other guests during the week who I have on with you and other people in this slot, Chris Caruso, former Democratic state rep. One thing he said to me over the past few weeks, Megan, and he was being prophetic because he was up there for many years, he said, be careful what you wish for with a special session because a lot of different stuff can happen. And this is exactly, I know, what you wrote about this week, because apparently the delegation from West Hartford is saying, hey, we're going to do other stuff other than the housing bill. So update us on that, please.
Well, I got to give a shout out to them. It's not often that I can congratulate the government for being transparent, but they're being very transparent and very truthful.
Okay.
And there's rumors that there's a special session come up to deal with the housing bill. We all know that. But they're all like, hey, while we're here, let's get some other business done.
Listen, if you're going to the store to get the milk, honey, while you're there, can you? It's one of those things, right?
It's like CVS when you go for one thing and then you walk out with 100. Oh, maybe you don't because you're not a girl.
Yeah, okay.
But I do.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about fiscal guardrails. I know that's a big snooze fest, but the fiscal guardrails that we have are very important. It keeps our spending in check. Mm-hmm. It keeps our borrowing in check. And it keeps us from using volatile sources of income, or revenue, rather, and using that for budget purposes, because stock markets go up and down. So if you're going to assume it's a good year in the stock market and it's not, you've now appropriated all of this money that you don't have coming in. So this past session, we actually did adjust these against Yankee Institute's recommendations, and they kind of upped the spending cap a little bit, and then they've been playing around with the volatility cap as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough for the West Hartford delegation. They want to use a special session to further dismantle the guardrails. And then at this point, I mean, guard suggestions, or they're no longer guardrails
sort of.
If you're constantly breaking them.
Yeah.
And then the other thing they were floating is, because, oh no, the one big beautiful bill, world's coming to an end, we need to tax the rich. So that's another idea that they're floating. And these aren't like freshman lawmakers.
No.
These are Rep. Jillian Gilchrist. She's been around for a while. Kate Farrar, been around for a while. I mean, these people have been there.
Yeah.
And they know what they're doing. So they get listened to. It's not like some, knucklehead that just got elected and wants to come make a name for himself and is ruffling his feathers. These are people that have leadership positions that are floating these ideas.
Yeah, and also, Megan, I'm going to wonder now, let's say they try to do this. Like, how is this going to work? Because supposedly everybody is going to say, well, we're here mainly for the housing bill. So, but wait a minute. You're there for the housing bill. You're going to play around with the budget again, which could raise everybody's taxes. Like, are they going to do this in secret? Is the housing bill going to be done behind closed doors? Is there going to be any open debate about this? Is the thing already written? Apparently, there was some 90-minute Zoom call the other day I'm reading about that a whole bunch of people were on, pro and con. Do we have anything, any idea of how this is going to happen, or do we just have to buy our popcorn and watch?
We have to buy our popcorn and watch for use with government. They like to do all these things behind our backs. And then, here we go. Here's our final product. You have 12 hours to read it, and then we're going to go vote on it. So that's probably what's going to happen. I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that I love our fiscal guardrails.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that I would get it tattooed on me, but I love them. And I'm hoping, and I got to give it to Speaker Ritter. He keeps his people in line.
Yes.
So, and he is a smart guy. I don't always agree with how he votes on things or policies that he puts forward. But as a speaker and as a lawmaker, he is very professional and he gets it. Like, he knows that we can't come in and just start taxing away. Like, he gets politics. He gets what it's like to work there. So I'm hoping he keeps them at bay. But it's one of those things. We're in the summer now. I mean, I'm going on vacation next week. People are going on vacation. Last thing normal, fun people want to do is pay attention to the government in the summer. I'm not that fun, so
I
like to watch it.
And something you mentioned there, and you're right, I always do credit where credit is due. Anybody who is a House Speaker, whether it's here in Connecticut, and Matt Ritter's got a caucus of, 101 or 99 or whatever the number it is, Democrats, or, somebody like Mike Johnson in D.C., he's got 200 and barely enough for a majority, 200 and change. I mean, that's a lot of people. It's one thing in Connecticut to lead the Senate, Democrats or Republicans, where it's a dozen, give or take, either way. You can all go out to dinner one night, basically, with everybody in one room. But when you're a House Speaker, that's like herding cats. John Boehner's.
Oh, goodness. And
John
and
Boehner's.
Then, oh, and like,
John Boehner said that once on with Jay Leno on The Tonight Show years ago. Jay Leno goes, oh, what's it like being a House Speaker? And he goes, Jay, it's like, you know, you remember Boehner, blah, blah, blah. It's like it's herding cats. Yes.
Yeah, it's not a fun job. And you can't make everyone happy. And for some reason in Connecticut, our politicians love to be part of caucuses. I feel like I'm back in college with all the fraternities and sororities. Like, everyone's got a caucus. So now you've got all these different people wanting 8,000 different things. You can't obviously make everyone happy. And you know what? I don't really care if the lawmakers are happy. I'm going to be honest. I know who I care about? The people of Connecticut. And I want the people of Connecticut to be happy. So if feelings are hurt and you're a lawmaker, too bad, so sad. I'm in this game for the people of Connecticut.
And how about this? Did you see this today? I hate to be tossing this at you blindly. This Connecticut Mirror story. Lawmakers carve a new path around the budget cap because they found out in just 2 weeks that the biennial budget underfunds state worker benefits by $210 million. Like, does anybody like keep an eye on this? Oh, we're just $210 million off. That's all.
I have not read it. It's on my bookmark right now because I had a staff meeting all day.
Yeah.
But just judging from the headline and no, I don't know Keith Faniff personally, but it's looking like a good report that he had done. So I really can't wait to read it.
What a shock. Oh, oops.
I know.
I mean, you know, an oops in this size budget would be a half $1 million, $1 million, five or $10 million, $210 million. There you go. Let's go to the ATM.
Hey, it's just money, and it's not theirs.
It's not theirs. All right, folks, read all the Megan stuff. Go to YankeeInstitute.org and go to the Hartford Portfolio blog. How's the dog? Is the dog still okay?
Oh, he is doing so well. There is a treat in his future, so he will be a happy boy.
How about that? Megan, thanks. Have a happy weekend, and we'll talk. Be good.
Bye. Hey, Paul.
All right, Megan Portfolio there.